The flame already was erect and silent. It had no more to say. Now it had left us with the permission of the gentle poet, when just behind it came another flame that drew our eyes to watch its tip because of the perplexing sound that it sent forth. Even as the Sicilian bull that first had bellowed with the cry, and this was just, of him who shaped it with his instruments, would always bellow with its victim's voice, so that although the bull was only brass, it seemed as if it were pierced through by pain. So were the helpless words that from the first had found no path or exit from the flame, transformed into the language of the fire. But after they had found their way up toward the tip and given it that movement which the tongue had given them along their passage, we heard, O you to whom I turn my voice, who only now were talking Lombard, saying, now you may leave, I'll not provoke more speech. Though I have come perhaps a little late, may it not trouble you to stop and speak with me. See how I stay, and I am burning. If you have fallen into this blind world but recently, out of that sweet Italian country from which I carry all my guilt, do tell me if the Romagnoles have peace or war. I was from there, the hills between Urbino and the ridge where the Tiber springs. I was still bent, attentive over him, when my guide nudged me lightly at the side and said, you speak, he is Italian. And I, who had my answer set already, without delay, began to speak to him. O soul that is concealed below in flame, Romagna is not now, and never was quite free of war inside its tyrant's hearts. But when I left her, none had broken out. Ravenna stands as it has stood for years. The eagle of Polenta shelters it, and also covers Cervia with his wings. The city that already stood long trial and made a bloody heap out of the French now finds itself again beneath green paws. Both mastiffs of Verrucchio, old and new, who dealt so badly with Montagna, use their teeth to bore where they have always gnawed. The cities on Lamone and Santerno are led by the young lion of the White Lair. From summer unto winter, he shifts factions. That city with its side bathed by the Savio, just as it lies between the plain and mountain, lives somewhere between tyranny and freedom. And now I pray you, tell me who you are. Do not be harder than I've been with you, that in the world your name may still endure. After the flame, in customary fashion, had roared a while, it moved its pointed tip this side and that, and then set free this breath. If I thought my reply were meant for one who ever could return to the world, this flame would stir no more. And yet, since none, if what I hear is true, ever returned alive from this abyss, then without fear of facing infamy, I answer you. I was a man of arms, then wore the cord, believing that so girt I made amends. And surely, what I thought would have been true had not the highest priest, may he be damned, made me fall back into my former sins. And how and why I'd have you hear from me. While I still had the form of bones and flesh my mother gave to me, my deeds were not those of the lion, but those of the fox. The wiles and secret ways, I knew them all, and so employed their arts that my renown had reached the very boundaries of earth. But when I saw myself come to that part of life when it is fitting for all men to lower sails and gather in their ropes, what once had been my joy was now dejection. Repenting, confessing, I became a friar, and poor me, it would have helped. The prince of the new Pharisees, who then was waging war so near the Lateran, and not against the Jews or Saracens, for every enemy of his was Christian, and none of them had gone to conquer Acre or been a traitor in the Sultan's lands. took no care for the highest office or the holy orders that were his, or for my cord, which used to make its wearers leaner. But just as Constantine on Mount Soracte, to cure his leprosy, sought out Sylvester, so this one sought me out as his instructor to ease the fever of his arrogance. He asked me to give counsel. I was silent. His words had seemed to me delirious. And then he said, "Your heart must not mistrust. I now absolve you in advance. Teach me to batter Penestrino to the ground. You surely know that I possess the power to lock and unlock heaven, for the keys to my predecessor did not prize, are two." Then his grave arguments compelled me so. My silence seemed a worse offense than speech, and I said, "Since you cleanse me of the sin that I must now fall into, Father, no. Long promises and very brief fulfillments will bring victory to your high throne." Then Francis came, as soon as I was dead, for me. But one of the black cherubim told him, "Don't bear him off. Do not cheat me. He must come down among my knees. The counsel that he gave was fraudulent. Since then, I've kept close track to snatch his scalp. One can't absolve a man who's not repented, and no one can repent and will at once. The law of contradiction won't allow it. Oh, miserable me, for how I started when he took hold of me and said, 'Perhaps you did not think that I was a logician.' He carried me to Minos, and that monster twisted his tail 8 times around his hide, and then, when he had bit it in great anger, announced, 'This one is for the thieving fire, for which, and where you see, I now am lost, and in this garb I move in bitterness.' And when with this his words were at an end, the flame departed, sorrowing and writhing and tossing its sharp horn. We moved beyond. I went together with my guide along the ridge, the other arch that bridges the ditch, where payment is imposed on those who, since they brought such discord, bear such loads."
Questi è il dire del fuoco puro, perché laddove veri son perduto, e si vestito, andando in rancuro. Quando ebbe il suo per così compiuto, la fiamma dolorandosi partio, forcendo e divertendo il cono unico. Noi passamo oltre, e io e il tuo cammino, su per lo scorio infino e sull'altro arco di corte, il fosso in cui si paga io a quel che scommettendo acquistando caccia.